Let your conversation be in heaven. Experience and conversation have led the writer to believe that there are many students of Christian Science who have a correct theoretical understanding of its fundamental doctrines, but who, nevertheless, when they attempt to apply science in the treatment of themselves or others, fall into the error of holding the material body or some of its parts or organs in thought, while making their declarations of divine harmony, health, strength, and perfection. In doing so, they unwittingly fall into the fundamental error of practically declaring that there is a material man, when principle demands that declarations of harmony and perfection be made only with regard to the real man, who is spiritual and perfect, like unto his Father. To make declarations of harmony and perfection about the projections of false material sense is foolish. It is but a phase of mesmerism. Other students of Christian Science sometimes fall into a yet more subtle error, especially while treating themselves. They correctly make their declarations of the harmony and perfection of the real spiritual man, but while doing so, they are watching the body out of the corners of their eyes, so to speak, to see whether the treatment is taking effect, thus implicitly admitting that there is a material as well as a spiritual man. This procedure does not constitute that undivided affirmation of truth and that absolute separation from error, from the false concept of man, which yields genuine and permanent results. There is, in science, no material body to be healed. What appears as such is simply one of the phases of false belief. False sense is that which is to be healed by being destroyed. There is nothing else to be taken account of. To be sure, the body seems to be uttering complaints, else no treatment would be undertaken. But these complaints are to be recognized as complaints of false material sense, of which the body itself is a part. Many times these complaints do not at once disappear under treatment, and so, for a time, cannot fully be eliminated from our human consciousness. And many do not seem to find the scientific way to deal with them. To illustrate this, suppose one were carrying on an important business conversation with a caller in a room where there was an assertive and talkative child. He would doubtless endeavor to quiet the child if he could not put him out of the room. But if, for the time being, he could not induce him to be still, he would go on with his conversation, concentrating his attention upon the subject in hand, which he could do if he chose, regardless of the child's babbling. He would, in a way, be conscious of the noise, but he would not allow it to interrupt the train of his thought. If the child became too assertive, he might pause momentarily now and then to command it to be still, and thus lessen the uproar in a measure. But if he paid no attention to the child's racket, it would, in all probability, grow quiet all the more speedily. In treatment, it is our endeavor to hold conversation with our highest sense of good and truth, to enter into communion with truth and love, to hold converse with God. In doing this, we obey the injunction, "Let your conversation be in heaven." That is, our conversation is in and with truth. in and with harmonious consciousness, which is heaven. In this conversation, the sense of matter and discord can have no rightful place. To the degree that we admit the thought of matter, even to watch its supposed states, to that degree our conversation ceases to be in heaven, for we have admitted the thought of a lie. If the sense of body and discord become too assertive, we may pause now and then to quiet this false sense by denying that there is any material body or any discord. Indeed, we may meet any specific claim of discord by a specific form of denial adapted thereto. But we should never be betrayed into affirming harmony with regard to the physical body, or into watching for harmony to be manifest in the physical body, with the thought or implicit belief that the body is real. Many times it is most efficacious to frame a line of thought in truth, including affirmations calculated to specifically offset the false claims which the body seems to be uttering, and then to fix our attention upon the affirmation of these declarations of truth and hold to them until, without narrowly watching the process, we become aware that the body has ceased to utter its complaints. The old proverb finds good application here: the watched pot never boils. To fix our attention upon declarations of truth is to heal by spiritual realization. To deny the existence of the material body and of pain, weakness, discord, is to heal by argument. The two methods may be resorted to successively, but affirmation of truth should never be made concerning the material body, and of course, denials are never called for in connection with things spiritual. The multiplication table is a compound idea, of which the ideas expressed by the words 4 times 3 equals 12, 5 times 6 equals 30, etc., are simple ideas. These simple ideas can be used individually, yet they cannot for an instant be so separated from the multiplication table that the multiplication table does not contain them. So, the multiplication table, although compound, is nevertheless indivisible, since no component part can be for an instant separated from it. Therefore, the multiplication table is individual, since individual and indivisible are synonymous terms as used in philosophy. So also, as Mrs. Eddy teaches, man is the compound yet individual idea of God. Science and Health, page 468, line 22, and page 475, line 14. The functions and activities of the real man are simpler ideas, which go to make up that compound idea which man is. But no one of these simpler ideas can for an instant be separated from the compound idea. Hence, the compound idea is individual. Man reflects God, who is omnipresent life, infinite mind, all-powerful, all harmonious, and eternally active. Hence, in his every function and activity, man may be declared to be an idea of God, from which life and strength and harmony are never for an instant separated. to hold in thought such declarations as these and many others which are given in the Bible, in our textbook, and in other Christian Science literature, is to have our conversation in heaven. It is well to keep our conversation in heaven and to keep it from dropping to the earth of material sense as much as may be. To keep our conversation in heaven is to pray without ceasing. It is to meditate in the law of the Lord and to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we do this, all needed harmony will be added to our human sense without our taking thought for materiality until such time as material sense shall have been entirely eliminated. Let your conversation be in heaven. If there is nothing within which can be hurt, nothing without can hurt us. Darkness cannot harm light, and mortal mind cannot harm the divine mind or its reflection. It cannot even touch it. Therefore, if we reflect the divine mind, we shall not be hurt by the injustice or coldness or misjudgment of others, no matter how much, from a mortal standpoint, we should be justified in feeling so. One finds by experience that he cannot afford to let himself be stirred up by what others do or do not do, by what they say or do not say. One should let all these things slip off like water off a duck's back. It behooves us to be so much unselfed, so freed from everything that is unlike the divine mind, that there is nothing within to be disturbed by the manifestations of error.